You have to understand about the Gospels that it's different perspectives, same story. And so what you'll read Luke say and Matthew say and Mark say is the same story, but it's a little bit of a different take on it. And some, you know, Bible critics, I call them Bible haters, will use that as a way to tell you that, oh, well, see, it's contradicting. No, it's just three or four different perspectives about the same story. And so Matthew actually records it and says it's two guys. So I think Mark only saw one, but Matthew saw two. But nevertheless, it's this profound story about these blind men. And we're going to, before we do start reading, I want to mention that we are starting a series called New Creation, and it'll be a four-week series. I'm so excited. Today is really kind of an intro and a high level, and my 3 points are the next three sermons. And so I'm going to just kind of tap on them a little bit, because this idea of a new creation and who God's created you and I to be in Christ is such a big topic. No way we could cover it in a day. In fact, we could spend all year, but we're going to take 4 weeks. And so today, I get to kind of highlight where I'm going and sort of minister what I believe God gave me and Fernando for this morning. So we're going to start in Matthew chapter 20 and verse 29. It says this, "And Jesus and his disciples were leaving Jericho, and a large crowd followed him. Two blind men were sitting by the roadside, and when they had heard Jesus was going by, they shouted, 'Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us.' The crowd rebuked them and told them to be quiet." Everyone, turn to your neighbor and say, "Be quiet." Turn to your other neighbor and say, "You're being too loud." "But they shouted all the louder, 'The Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us.' Jesus stopped, called them. 'What do you want me to do for you?' he asked. 'Lord,' they answered, 'we want our sight.' And Jesus had compassion on them, touched their eyes, and immediately they received their sight and followed him." As I mentioned, the title of my message is in this series is New Creation. And that's sort of the title of my message today because it's an intro. But I know we've already prayed, but will you just bow your heads one more time? And God, as we come to your word, I thank you that it's living and active. And Jesus, it's not a textbook and it's not just a fun story. It truly is your breath on the page. And Lord, we know that the entirety of Scripture is to lead us to one thing, seeing you, Jesus, high and lifted up in all of your splendor, and that in that moment we are changed as we behold you. And so, God, I pray in this series as we talk about being new creations, Jesus, that you would truly open up the eyes of our hearts to see you high and lifted up. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. They received their sight and followed him. And, you know, I love that this story is about blind men, because blindness isn't limited to physical sight. We know that. We know that Jesus is the healer and he heals blind eyes. And all throughout Scripture, we saw that so much. But Paul also prays that their eyes of their heart might be opened. And I believe that there's something in this today where we're asking God, open up my eyes where I have been blind as it relates to who you've created me to be. I'm 46, and in my middle age, I have begun to lose my sight. And this has really been like a pretty new thing in the last year. Many men, I'm looking at you, and some of you are wearing glasses, and some of you are like, where are my readers? And, you know, we're kind of, a lot of us are in that process, and sometimes it happens at 40, sometimes it happens at 50. But most of the time, right, all of us, men and women, we lose our sight early on as it relates to farsighted, which means you have a hard time reading. But I didn't know which one was going because, you know, a couple years ago, maybe 2 years ago, I just noticed I was just Late at night, my eyes were getting watery, and I was just kind of like not seeing very well. I was like, do I need to go to the eye doctor? Well, I remember going to Walmart because I'm thinking, like, maybe I just need to get some readers. And at that time, I didn't have any readers. Now I have like 4 or 5 laying around everybody. Anybody with me? Okay. But at that time, I didn't have any. I didn't really know, like, that there's all these kinds of different glasses. And so I just went to the Walmart glass section, and I'm looking at glasses, and mainly I'm looking for style over functionality because I don't need them that bad. And so I'm like, I just like to look something that looks good. And I remember seeing a friend of mine, it was like a Facebook post, and he was wearing some glasses. I'm like, oh, those look cool. And they were like clear like this. And so I found a pair of clear glasses at Walmart. And I was just like, wow, they looked really cool. And again, at this point, I'm looking more style than function. But I needed glasses at the time, but not as much as I do today. And so I remember like putting them on like this, and I was looking at the little mirror they give you, and I'm like, oh, these aren't actually them, but they look like this. And I remember looking at the mirror, and then I was like, oh, wow, I like the look of those. And so I wore them. I took them out of the package. And then I kept the package because I was going to buy them. And so they were like $1.50, you know. And so I'm wandering around Walmart just like feeling good about my new glasses, you know. And I was like looking at how people would respond to me. Like, are you like, oh, wow, you look really weird in those? Or like, oh, no, you look normal. And I'm just going to, you know. And so I'm kind of getting the vibe and I'm feeling good about the vibe. And I look to Heather and she's like, yeah, those look pretty good to you. And then I'm also thinking to myself, like, wow, I feel like I can see better with these. So I don't know what the prescription is, but I feel like I found it because they don't look blurry. But I'm having clarity that I didn't have before. And I even go up and like I try to read something. I'm like, well, it looks pretty good. And so I go to take the package up to Heather because she was, you know, putting the stuff together to buy our stuff there today. And I give it to her, and she looks in the package, and it says that they're no prescription. They're just like clear glass that I had been wearing around all day at Walmart. Like, man, babe, I think I got it, you know, like, this prescription's dialed in. No need to go to the eye doctor. Yeah, they were just glass, just total glass. It was all in my imagination. Well, since then, my eyes have gotten significantly worse, and there's no way I could pull that off now. But what I've noticed is that it's definitely farsighted, meaning, and I actually went to the eye doctor. Eye doctor said, no, your distance is actually really good. It's like 20/20 or maybe even like a step above. I can see really good. But up close, which again is common, I have a really hard time, and I'm having to print my notes out like a bit of a bigger font. I'm a mess up here, Adam. But I thought it was interesting in our whole journey of faith, isn't it true that oftentimes you can see clearly or much more clearly when you're looking a little bit further down the road and looking at somebody else's life? And you can believe for them and see things for them and their future. But then when you take a look at your life, it's a little blurry. And I know for us who are married, sometimes it's easy for us to see something profound in our spouse that they have a hard time seeing for themselves. Because most of us are farsighted. We have a hard time seeing clearly for us who God's created us to be. And I believe in the next 4 weeks that God is going to give you a new prescription. And it's not so much to see in a distance, although God will give you that, and he will give you vision for people, and he will give you prophetic things for others and for your kids, and he will let you see down the road. But I really believe that God wants to give you a new prescription as it relates to your life. When you look at your life in the mirror and what's going on in your heart, who God's created you to be, God's going to give you a prescription, and it's going to be profound, and you're going to see things that you've never seen before. You guys good for that? I'm so excited. We live in a time when the phrase, the blind leading the blind, has never been more relevant. I mean, when you talk about people wearing a prescription or the lack thereof and talking about who they are and how we lead one another, we are surrounded by people that have absolutely no idea who they really are in Christ. And so we look to social media, we look to our friends, we look to, you know, the popular narrative, and it's the blind leading the blind. And so I'm just suggesting today that Heart Church, we're going to raise the water level, so we're going to send you guys out, and you're going to be able to lead your peers in who God's created them to be because you've discovered something for yourself. How many wants to do that? How many want to? I love that idea. So the first idea is this, and this is my next week's sermon. The one who made you gets to define you. Ooh, this is going to be good. The one who made you gets to define you. Notice the crowd. Two blind guys, and they cry out, "Son of David, have mercy on us. We want to see something we've never seen before." And immediately the crowd says, "Shh. You're being too loud. Stop it. This is, you got to just," and listen, the crowd is constantly trying to get you to accept who you are. It's just who you are. You're stuck. How many of you know that there isn't just an exterior crowd? Because there is an exterior crowd. It's the world we live in. But how many of you know there is an interior crowd? Crowd, and we define it these days in life group as the chatterbox. It's the crowd in your mind, isn't it? Constantly, shh, stop being so loud. You just got to accept who you are. You got to accept the narrative about your life. That's just who you are. And I think that the crowd is saying, give up. Stay stuck. Just give up. You're not going to get a new start. There isn't something new for you. You can't break free from this. Who you are is just who you are. And maybe you can move the dial just a little bit, but you're not going to be able to reinvent yourself, and you're certainly not going to be able to step into this amazing goodness that God has for you. And so let me just tell you what the chatterbox is saying to many of you right now. Listen, you're going to have to kind of tune out the next 3 weeks. Because there's going to be an amazing message that's for some people in the room. But it's not for you. That day's past. Like, there's too much water under the bridge. So maybe you can take a little bit of it, but the bulk of this goodness, it's not going to be for you. That's the chatterbox. We see this in Jeremiah, and I think this is such a profound passage, so we're going to touch on it just for a minute, because we're going to see how the enemy works and how society has worked to kind of steer this narrative. And we see it in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5 through 8, says this. This is God talking to Jeremiah. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. Then Jeremiah said, I don't know how to speak. I am too young. But the Lord said to me, do not say, I'm too young. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you. There's a phrase that I'm not super fond of, and it's the phrase, you do you. Anybody heard that phrase? You do you. And I think that there's some merit to using that phrase in a good context. Meaning, if it's freeing somebody up from the trap of comparison, then you're saying, come on, like, you do you. Don't be doing somebody else. Don't be getting in somebody else's lane. Don't be trying to be somebody like that. You do you. I think that's a fantastic way to use this phrase. But I think if we're not careful, we use that phrase in a different way. And we do it in a way that is so limiting to who we are, as if we know us best. And it comes in the form of an I am statement. So many times we use it subconsciously to define us, and we make declarations about who we are, because I'm doing me. I know me, and so I'm this and I'm not that. I'm this and I'm certainly not that. And we characterize who we are. Let's look at Jeremiah again with this mindset. God declared something incredible to Jeremiah. He said, Jeremiah, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I set you apart to the nations. He was calling out Jeremiah saying, you're special. You're incredible. I know who you are. And I'm doing something amazing in your life. And Jeremiah responds with a very deflating I am statement. I wrote this. We often find ourselves using an I am statement to define and discount ourselves. We use I am statements to define us. Well, I'm just like this. I'm not the stage person. I don't know if God could really use me. Oh, I'm not gifted enough. I do this and I don't do that. You know, this is just who I am. And we put ourselves in this little box and we say, this is just me. I'm not outgoing. And so I don't really do that. And I'm not really gifted. And then we do it as a limiting category, right? Because then we say things like, I'm not holy enough to be used by God. I'm too broken. I'm too fearful. And so we use these I am statements to define who we are. Now, oftentimes, this doesn't come out of our mouth. Most of us don't stand in the mirror and make these declarations. But they're going around in our mind. Especially when we face something. Like, have you ever lost your job? And it feels like this mountain to go get a new job. What's the first thing that comes to your mind? Insecurity. What if I don't get a job? What if I'm not qualified enough? What if I don't, and what if, and then you start reeling, well, this is who I am and this is who I'm not. And oh my gosh, and we make all of these I am statements. Can you imagine if God responded with a you do you to Jeremiah? I think it would go something like this. Okay, Jeremiah, you do you. After all, you know you better than me. I mean, I'm the one who made you right after I flung the stars into place. But you do you. How arrogant of us to think we know us best. And I'll tell you what, and I'm going to preach a whole message on this next week, but there is a whole narrative in our society that feels so empowering to just be you. You can decide when you wake up in the morning who you is. Who's you? Well, depends on how you feel. And I'm telling you, that will be so stifling and so limiting to the things that God has for us. And so I wrote this. God says, before I formed you, I knew you. God formed you. And listen, like, I don't know, maybe you're here and you're not quite sure if you believe that or not, but I'm just here to tell you what I believe, what this church believes, beyond the shadow of a doubt, deep in my bones, that there is a creator. His name is God Almighty. He existed before time and space. And he formed you from the dust. He had your name in mind. He had all the days of your life written in the book. He knows who you are. He has this, your handprint. It's so unique. There is absolutely no one like you. And the odds of you being born is like you in like a quadruple million. I can't think of the right, it's a big number. The odds of you being born is beyond what we can fathom. And yet we treat our lives as so mundane, as so limiting. And then in our own mind, our own insecurities, that we frame ourselves as if we know the extent of what we're capable of and who we are and the things that God has for us. And we put it in a tiny little box and we say, God, I'm just going to do me. And God says, but I know you. And I formed you. And so I'm asking you, don't say I am. Be careful when you use that phrase, because God is very attached to that phrase, because it's the most profound name for himself. Moses says, what do I call you? When the Israelites come and when Pharaoh, and they're questioning me, what do I say? Who sent me? And he said, I am. You tell me, you tell them I am everything they need. And so before you put I am in front of your name, why don't you put it in front of his? He is. And I'm not suggesting that you can just be whoever you want to be. God's created you with specific talents and gifts and passions, and some of us have realized some of those. But all I'm saying is, I am can be so limiting. And so let's reserve that for the one who created you. The one who created you gets to define you. I wrote this. And so we learn to bow the knee of our self-proclaimed identity to the one who holds us in the palm of his hand. We're not a church that has an arrogant, self-proclaimed, well, this is who I am. This is what our journey to identity looks like. God, I think I know who I am, but I know that it's woefully short. And most importantly, I bow my ideals, my preferences, my emotions and feelings that lie to me, the narrative of this culture, what happens on social media, I bow the knee. And I bow all of those things to your lordship. You created me. And so today, Lord, would you silence the voice of the chatterbox in my mind that makes me feel less than, that makes me feel depleted, that makes me feel defeated. And Father, today I pray that you'd fill my heart and my mind with your thoughts from heaven, because they're higher and they're greater than my thoughts. Come on, anybody with me? They're higher and they're greater. But that only comes, church, as we bow our knee to him about who we are. I'm not holding on to who I think I am. I'm saying, God, blow my mind. Open up my eyes. That my life and the one that I discover about my life would be a one that glorifies you. Come on, this is good preaching. Let's go. Y'all should come next week. It's going to be a good sermon. Secondly is this, in Christ we're made new. In Christ we are made new. Shameless plug for Don. Where's Don Rawson? Don Rawson, will you stand up just really quickly before you guys clap? By the way, Don and Lori both are amazing. Don has a real passion for people to learn their identity in Christ. And he did his first class that we'll do multiple times this last January. And it's just an incredible, I actually went through it in Freedom in Christ years ago. It is an incredible tool to help people learn who they are in Christ. So I'm going to spend 1 week on it, but I'm excited to begin the journey again at some point with this class. And so can we just thank Don for his passion in this? But the idea is that in Christ, we're made new. So it's not just, God, you created me, and you have a plan for me, because you know me. But it's also, there's something that took place when I received Christ. And this is where this new creation comes from. And the Bible says that he has reconciled us back to God. And I love that word because the word reconcile in the text, in the Greek, literally means to restore back to its original intent. And so many of us feel like, well, water under the bridge, I've already messed it up so much. And so there's no way that like what God had in mind for me could be restored. When he originally created me, he had this beautiful life, but like I've screwed it up. And so I'm just going to settle. But the Bible says he's reconciled us back to this amazing plan. It's this beautiful mosaic. He puts the pieces together and shines his light through it and it creates something beautiful. And so that's this idea of in Christ we're made new. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away and behold, all things have become new. See, this new you is not a nicer you. It's not a little improved version of you. No, this is a brand new, power-packed, spirit-filled, victorious you. The world hasn't seen anything like it. You were dead, and now you're alive. That's why I love baptism. Buried with Christ. We were dead in our sin, spiritually dormant, and he has brought you back to life. Listen, if you were actually raised back to life from the dead physically, we could never shut you up. You'd be walking around like, did I tell you my story? And you're like, yes, like five times. Well, I'm going to tell you it again because I was dead in the grave and God raised me to life. Can I tell you again what happened to my life? And listen, that's exactly what happened. And we just got to keep telling the story and over because we are different people. But you know what's interesting about this story of these blind guys? They received their sight. God gave them a brand new lens for who they are. But not only did they silence the crowd and the chatterbox that's limiting them, but I thought it was interesting the descriptive title that the Bible gives these guys. Go ahead and put it up there. Two blind men receive sight. Now, what you have to understand, and the reason why I included this, if you look in your Bible, there's headings to, and it helps us to find stories. And where's the prodigal son story? And we thumb through and we kind of find the headings. What you have to understand is that the headings is not God breathed. It's man created. Now, there's nothing wrong with it, but it's not part of the Bible. It's man's commentary to help us discover what's actually in the Bible. So what's below that title or that header is scripture. The header's not. And in my opinion, kind of missed it a little bit on the header. And I guess my question is, if they received their sight, then why are they still called blind? The story is about two guys who are blind their whole life, discarded, counted as nothing. And they cried out to the Lord and the crowd said, shut up, you're nothing. Just stay where you are. And they cried out more. And God healed them and delivered them. And it's this incredible story. And the way that we define those guys is we say two blind men received their sight. I don't know if you've ever felt like there's a header over your life. And yeah, I believe that God is good and I believe that he's made me new. And I believe that his grace is enough for me and I'm coming to church and I want to learn about this new creation. Yes, I want to do all those things, but I just haven't been able to get past this header. What happens below it? It's good stuff. I'm trying and I'm working and I'm getting past it. I'm seeing some good things. But this header is just, it's still who I am in my mind. I don't know if There's anybody that can help me illustrate this. Where's Danny? Danny, come on down here, Danny. Come on, let's give it up for Danny. I love this man right here. I don't know if you know Danny, but he and Julie are absolutely incredible gifts around here. And I had you in my heart. We went on a missions trip. There was about 16 of us, and you guys prayed for us. And I showed some video, and there was many of the people that went that just kind of like rose, cream to the crop, like rose to the top. And many, David was one of those that just absolutely blew us away. But Danny was one of those that just the call of God on this man's life is absolutely incredible. And I think that as we're preaching this, you can help me preach it. As we're preaching this, I think that you can identify with the header. We all have it, don't we? God's changed us. He's made us new. I've heard you preach it in English and in Spanish. He has this little speaker, and he has the microphone open air, and he just preaches the gospel, and if people are getting saved, it's like incredible. But I believe that God is singling you out today because you understand, like we all understand, that there's sometimes still a header over our life that we can't get rid of. We can't seem to erase it. And it's like on the forehead. And not only do I believe that God is breaking you free of that, but I believe it's something that's taking place even now. And I wanted to honor you, and I wanted to do it publicly, even though this is probably the last thing you want, because he loves to be in the back and he loves to serve. But I want to honor you by declaring to you that you are called, that the past is gone, that you're moving forward, you are a brand new creation, and you're called to ministry. And I don't know what that looks like other than it's going to be amazing. And the Lord put it on my heart to give you something. This was the Bible that that I got, not this one, this is the new one, but it was like this one. I found the most old, beat up thing. No, I brought you a brand new one. But this was the Bible that I was given when I first started ministry. And it's the Spirit-filled Jack Hayford Life Bible. And this one's genuine leather because, well, there's nothing like a leather Bible. It just smells good, you know? It smells right. But I want to give it to you as an investment to this incredible man of God called to ministry, and the header that has been on your life, that says defeated. We're erasing that today. We're erasing that today. Will you extend your hands? This is sort of like a commissioning. You're not allowed to go anywhere, though. Not yet. Okay, you can go, because I'm not controlling, but please don't go anywhere. Because we love you. God, I just thank you for this man of God. I thank you for who he is. I thank you, Lord, for this new creation that you have created in this powerful man of God. And so, Lord, I want to speak to, and Lord, as we speak to Danny, we speak to all of us. I want to speak to the old narrative, the old header that can be looming over our lives, from our disappointments to our failures, to our shortcomings, and they crop their head up and they say, "What? Who do you think you are?" And Father, we silence that in the name of Jesus. We erase that header and we replace it with a brand new one, a brand new, power-packed, Spirit-filled, victorious new creation. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. So maybe together we could change this. So we're going to change it. We're not going to change the Bible. We're just changing the header. And here's what we're changing it to. We're going to change it to the bold men received sight. Come on. Come on, we were blind, but we're not blind anymore. So don't call us blind, call us bold. Are you with me? That's in 2 weeks. We're going to preach that again. And the last thing is this. I'm going to invite Adam up. The new you is a walk of faith. The new you is a walk of faith. We're going to close on this. I love that they shouted. And shoot, we could have Fernando up and he could preach this last point. I love that they shouted. But you have to understand that it was a blind shout. See, sometimes we can't see with our eyes what we believe in our heart. And I'm here to tell you that this journey of being a new creation, I wish I could tell you it was easy. I wish I could tell you every day when you wake up, you're going to see it. You're going to feel it. You're like, let's go. Pastor Shane said, I'm a new creation. I feel like a new creation. I'm acting like a new creation. Man, I even look like a new creation. I'm just looking good. I would love to say that that's going to be how you feel every day. But I would be lying to you. There's not a person in this room, including myself, that ever feels like that every day. Sometimes you do, right, Coach Mike? Sometimes you do. And sometimes you feel like the complete opposite of that. So it takes faith to believe something that sometimes no one else can see or believe in you. So it's a blind shout. I wrote this, sometimes it's even a blind stumble. When they cried out and then they began to walk. This walk of faith, it's sometimes a stumble. I'm here to talk to anybody in the room that's ever stumbled. I'm here to talk to the real people in the room. Listen, if you're still in the stage where you just want to keep your Sunday best on, that's okay. But just for a minute, I want to talk to the people that understand sometimes a step forward feels like a stumble forward. And what I love about Jesus is that the moment that they cry out, Son of God, have mercy on us. It says he stopped. And then he stooped. Just like the woman at the well was down on the ground, like just lowest of low. Have you ever been there? Lowest of low. And all the people are crowded around it. It's in those moments where the voice of condemnation can feel so loud. And Jesus comes and he had every right to stay standing and yet he didn't. He kneeled. He went down. And that's what you need to know today is that this is blind. It's a blind walk. It's a faith walk. And sometimes it feels like we're victorious and sometimes it's a stumble. But in those moments, Jesus is there. He's there in the victorious moments. He's there in the stumbling moments. And when we cry out to him, he comes and he's near. And he says, let me show you who you are. Let me show you who you are. Who you are is not a byproduct of your goodness or your victorious moments. Listen, who you are is not a highlight reel of your amazing Christianity. Who you are is a victorious, once blind, walking by faith person. It's walking with God in the stumbles and in the sprints every day. The point is, we're moving forward. So when you fall down, church, when you stumble, get back up. Let's move forward. God, I thank you that I am still who you called me to be. Don't stay away from church for a month because the condemnation has got you down. Get up and say, God, I thank you that I'm new. Help me be new. Help me move beyond that. I'm better than that. God, you've called me to more than that. And I promise you, as you do that, your flesh, the Bible says, throw off the old man who's corrupt and put on the new man. But the new man's not clothed in good works. The new man's clothed in the robe of righteousness. His righteousness, not yours. Put it on. And when you do, the byproduct will be that old stuff, it's gone. I don't want to go there. I'm moving on with him. I want to read this scripture to you, Hebrews chapter 4. It's not up on the screen, but I want you to close your eyes as we close. I want to declare this over you. Hebrews chapter 4, it says this. So then, we must cling in faith to all we know to be true. For we have a magnificent high priest, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who sympathizes with us in our frailty. He understands humanity and was tempted in every way, just as we are, and yet conquered sin. Let us therefore come boldly. Come on, church. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we might receive mercy and help in our time of need. This new creation is a byproduct of the finished work of the cross. That's it. The finished work of the cross. And when you start believing that, something will begin to change on the inside. And so even now, with your eyes closed and head bowed, I'm asking a work of the Spirit. Something begins to change as you believe that. You're a new creation. The old is gone. That header that remained over your life is being washed away. You're no longer broken. You're no longer insecure. You're no longer stuck. You're no longer unwanted and unlovable. You are a child of God, royalty, brand new, who he's called you to be. So right now, just in the quietness of this moment, will you begin to accept this new narrative by faith? Lord, we're asking that you open up our eyes. Places that we've struggled and stumbled, Jesus, we're asking that you come alongside us and lift us up. Show us who you've created us to be. And we give you praise for that. With everyone head bowed and eyes closed, if you're here in this place and you've never accepted Christ to be your Lord and Savior, I would like to invite you to pray this prayer. The Bible says that confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord and you'll be saved. This could be your moment as a brand new Christian, a new creation in Christ. Say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. And so today, I acknowledge your sacrifice to make a way for me. Come into my heart. I make you Lord and Savior, in Jesus' name, amen and amen. Can we just celebrate the Lord this morning? I'd like to invite the prayer team at this time. As I said, over the next 3 weeks, we're going to dive into these topics more. Listen, if you have a friend, a family member, a coworker, and they're sort of struggling with their identity, invite them to church. Invite them to sit with you. go on a journey together to find victory. Walk in confidence. Have boldness. Erase the past. Erase the old narrative and the old header over your life. Let's start something new together. God bless you. We'll see you next week.